You are listening to Living for the Cinema with Jeff Gershon. I am a cinema enthusiast of all genres, here to discuss with you one film every episode. The good, the bad, and the ugly of what makes each film unique. Spoiler alert. No matter when this film was released, there's a good possibility I will be revealing spoilers about the plot or even possibly the ending, so just be warned. Sudden Death, which came out in 1995 and was directed by Peter Hyams. It stars Jean-Claude Van Damme, Powers Booth, Raymond J. Barry, Whitney Wright, Ross Malinger, Dorian Harewood, Kate McNeil, Michael Gaston, Audra Lindley, Brian DeLatte, and Jennifer D. Bowser. The genre would be Die Hard at a hockey arena.
Tonight, he's brought his children,
don't leave your seats,
to the most exciting game of the year. But now, the arena is under attack.
What is your objective?
$1,700,000,000.
And he has more to lose than anyone.
If you're not gonna pay, I'll get my daughter.
Death.
You lose, pal.
I was never a huge Van Damme fan, but I find this to be his most rewatchable film, precisely because it uses him in just the right doses as an actor. Powers Booth actually gets more dialogue as the main villain, and that works because he is one sadistic but entertaining villain.
Good night. That agent's name was Eddie Kaline. He has a 5-year-old boy, a 3-year-old little girl, and his wife's pregnant.
I'll send a card.
What do you want?
What do I want? World peace, an end to bigotry, and no more mini malls. What am I gonna get? And I am gonna get it. That, boys and girls, is really hot.
What is your objective?
My objective? I get funny all over when you talk like that. I know just what you're thinking. Evaluate the situation, calculate potential losses, and take appropriate action. Let me do that for you. The situation is hopeless. Losses would be unacceptable. So the appropriate action is for you to do nothing and keep your fucking mouth shut.
What kind of lunatic are you?
The best kind.
Who apparently had to command a veritable army of murderous henchmen who are everywhere around Pittsburgh. Seriously, of all the Die Hard clones that come out in the 90s, this might have the highest body count of any of them, at least in the first act. By the time we even see Van Damme launch his first kick, we have probably seen more than a couple of dozen civilians and security personnel get murdered. Needless to say, it's a brutal but entertaining actioner directed by one of the best action journeymen out there, Peter Hyams. All the action is nicely staged, and there's some damn impressive stunt work throughout, and several inventive set pieces which make great use of this setting. JCVD really does a very adept job with all the physical stuff. And to his credit, he looks just as convincing traversing the top of a retractable roof as he does disarming some C4 explosives.
Rebound comes to the Hawks, moving all over the ice.
Yeah?
Mr. McCord?
Matthew Hallmark, Secret Service. What's your situation?
Closey. How long have you known what's going on in
here? Assume we don't.
Someone is holding the owner's box and everybody in it, including my kid.
What else?
Did you have agents posted at a private elevator?
2.
Notify their families.
Have you had any contact with the aggressors?
I killed 2. Is that contact? Look, one of them told me they're going to bring this whole building down. What are you guys going to do about it?
We're still evaluating the situation.
There's no situation. They want money, a lot of it. Give it to them. If you fuck around and something happens to my kid,
we're considering
every possible response.
If you're not going to pay, say so.
It's a strong physical performance, but it's still Powers Booth who steals the show. He gets all the best lines and basically plays his wild-eyed American version of Hans Gruber.
In the Secret Service, AOP is assault on principle, in this case, our esteemed vice president.
I don't give a shit.
Ooh, now, Tom, come on. If we're going to play, you got to play nice. So, you go run your little ass off. I know where the bombs are, so I know where you're going.
Then come and get me.
Would you like a glass of wine or a cigarette? It's customary to offer these minor vices to someone before they die.
And the hockey. We're just starting the hockey playoffs now, aren't we? Fun stuff if you were an NHL fan in the 90s, as I was. I was in New York. Rangers fan, 94. Enough said. Sadly, there was no way to include a Mark Messier cameo, but we still have cameos from notable NHL luminaries like Jágr, Chelios, and Luc Robitaille, who pretty much saves the day, no less. And we even see Van Damme, the man, suit up for goalie in one fun sequence.
This game. And here we go. Chicago will control the faceoff and they'll dump it quickly towards the Penguins' end.
Still down there. Oh, Christ.
Chicago will carry the play to the Penguins as they drive it back into Pittsburgh territory.
This is definitely one of the more underrated Die Hard in a Blank films, and with a perfectly descriptive title, no less.
This is the most powerful plastic explosive in the world. Don't be too quick to pull the trigger.
Save it. I've placed some of that stuff. No detonator, no kaboom.
Everybody's an expert.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is the most powerful plastic explosive in the world.
This brings me to the categories. And the first category would be the best needle drop. This is the best song cue or piece of score used throughout the runtime of the film. Now, to be perfectly honest, the music playing throughout this movie is not a huge factor, but it does the job. And this particular score comes from Glendale, California's own journeyman composer with over 220 credits. Wow, that would be John Debney. Now, it's not a name I hear much of, but he's got a pretty strong IMDb, with some notable scores for a variety of genres, no less, including The Greatest Showman, the quite underrated animated gem Chicken Little, underrated comedy gem Dick, and most notably, a very strong score which he received an Oscar nomination for, The Passion of the Christ, which came out 20 years ago. Wow. Hey, whatever you want to think about that movie, the score killed. And his score for Sudden Death is also sufficiently fast-paced, muscular, string-heavy, with some bass-heavy metallic drums. It's the textbook definition of a serviceable action score. And that's okay. If nothing else, it reminded me of similar action scores from around this time period, from the likes of James Newton Howard or the late great Jerry Goldsmith. The highlight would likely be the main theme, which we hear repeated throughout the movie, especially kicking in hard over the end credits. The next category would be wasted talent. This is the most underutilized talent involved with the film. Now, far be it from me to pick on children who are just doing what they were told to do on a movie set and remembering their lines, but the McCord kids, the kids of his character, played by Whitney Wright and Ross Malinger, well, they just might be the weakest part of this movie. Yeah, let's just say that they're both annoyingly plucky, at least as written. Now, I'm not blaming either child actor at the time, as I'm sure they were just doing their best with the material, but I've just always found these characters to be more irritating than engaging. Sorry. Hey, look, not everyone could be Carrie Henn playing Newt in Aliens. The material just isn't always there.
I'm not afraid of you.
Oh, sure you are. I'm the scariest person you've ever seen.
You're the meanest.
Am I now? How do you suppose I got that way?
Maybe when you were born, you had something wrong with your brain.
And now the next category, which would be the trailer moment. This is the scene or moment that best describes this movie. Look, I really happen to enjoy the more grander scale stadium stuff later in the film. But let's be honest. Where else are you going to see JCVD brawl with a giant penguin mascot in the middle of a kitchen?
John, I was trying to catch up with you and Emily. She wasn't supposed to leave her seat.
I'm Carla. Joan had to go home sick.
But you were with my daughter, Emily.
Yeah, she was lost. I took her up to the owner's box. Come on, we'll go get her.
I believe that would be Kathy, played by Kate McNeil, who I haven't seen much from except maybe in a solid role in the underrated thriller Monkey Shines from a few years prior. As far as I can tell, the actress has not done much in the way of action, but here she really holds her own in what is likely the most inventive action sequence of the film. Just the image of that 7-foot penguin with some of the top of her helmet cover sliced off from the kitchen fan, fluff coming off her head, and some blood over her eye, looking all disoriented as she fends off Van Damme near the fryer. That is your money shot. The final category would be the MVP. This is the person or people who are most responsible for the success of this film. Now, I was tempted to choose Van Damme, as this might very well be his best overall acting performance. He's actually quite good here. Even though I have said in past reviews for movies like this along the lines of The Fugitive or Die Hard that it's all about the villain sometimes. But I can't choose Powers Booth either, despite him delivering an excellent villain turn. Nope, it's not any one performer in front of the camera who truly drives this film's success. For me, it's actually the longtime professional behind the camera who truly carries this film. And he is a journeyman director who could always be relied upon to deliver a satisfying genre film. One which would take its premise seriously enough, but also would keep things fun and efficient. This film is breathlessly paced, yet never skimps on exposition. As this guy also works as the DP cinematographer on most of his films, including this one, the action is all shot cleanly and on location, it's fun, and you can always follow what's going on. And he's also good with actors, big stars too, from Van Damme to Schwarzenegger to Sean Connery to Michael Douglas, they always will deliver effective performances for him. This gentleman has been reviewed on this podcast before too. He helmed previous episode Running Scared, which I believe might be the most underrated buddy cop action comedy of the 1980s. And he also directed the now often forgotten late 70s conspiracy thriller Capricorn 1. Check out that episode as well. And undoubtedly, I do expect to review even more films of his from his 80s heyday. Also now underappreciated sci-fi gems like Outland and 2010, The Year We Make Contact.
What has happened to American bravery?
It's alive and well, thank you very much. What's happened to Russian common sense?
I'm referring to Peter Hyams, of course, and for delivering yet another satisfying action film with a consistency which few other filmmakers could match, he is the MVP.
My orientation is visual. I come from being a failed artist. So I am drawn to those films that take you places you haven't been to or places you don't ordinarily get a chance to go to. I think it's part of what a movie's about. And I'm this, I guess, fairly stupid guy, and so I kind of like big, brawny, exciting movies. And my favorite film in the world is that movie that excites you and is not stupid. So when I see a movie like The Fugitive or I see a movie like the first Die Hard, those are my favorite movies in the world, you know.
My rating for Sudden Death would be 3.5 stars out of 5. Among the subgenre of Die Hard homages, I would rank this among the top half. Among hockey movies, mid-tier. And among Van Damme vehicles, it's certainly top-tier for me. And if you're looking to watch Sudden Death, it is available to buy or rent on all major online platforms. And that ends another Wham Bam Van Damme review. Please like, subscribe, and share the Living for the Cinema podcast, and follow and like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Letterboxd. And join us next time for another review from Living for the Cinema.